Let's read from the book of Acts, chapter 2.
From verse 42
to verse
47. Verse 42 to verse 47. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possessions and shared their money with those in need. They worshipped together at the temple each day and met in homes for the Lord's Supper and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who have been saved.
That's so true. Banna batisetsa thutong ya apostola le kopanong ya budumedi le ho ngwateng ha bohobe le dithapelong bohle ba tshoha hobane apostola ba ne ba etsa dimakatso le mihlolo e mengata bohle ba dumetseng ba ba ha mmoho mme ba kopanela maruo a bona ba rekisa maruo a bona le ntho tseo ba neng ba ena le tsona ba arolelana bohle ka moo e molemong a hlokang ka teng ka letsatsi le leng le le leng ba ba ha mmoho ka tempeleng ba le maikutlo a le mang ba kena ntlo ka nngwe ba ntse ba ngwatha bohobe ba ja dijo ka thabo le ka pelo tse tshweu ba rorisa Modimo ba ratwa ke batho bohle mme ka letsatsi le letsatsi morena a eketsa phutheo ka ba pholoswang.
Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, Lord, for your word as it's been read, Lord. We are still in awe of this church, Lord, of how you worked previously, Lord. But we know that we have not changed. We are still the same God who worked in that time and who still works today, Lord. We pray, Lord, that this word may be fruitful into our lives, Lord, that we may desire to be like this church that we are reading about. Help us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, where we are reading, we read the story of the first Christians, or you might say it's the story of the first church. And all Christians who came afterwards, they are flowing, they are coming out of these first Christians. And like our church is also flowing from this church. So if you were to do a tree, you will have this first church on top and we'll be somewhere there at the
bottom.
So this first church set an example that all the churches should follow. So they have a template that is there and will remain forever for all churches. So we at Sovereign Grace Bible Church, we aspire to be like this church. So if you are wondering why we do things the way we do them, it's because we want to be like this church. We don't have any ambition of being like Rick Warren's church. That's why we don't read these books. We don't have any ambition of being like our neighboring churches. Because they are not like this church that we just
read
about. So we desire to be exactly like the way this church was. So we just want to be a copycat of this first church that we just read about. So you may be wondering, why do we want to be like a church that existed 2,000 years ago? You must be saying, why can't we move on
with the times? Can't we do what the successful churches of today are doing? But the answer is no, we don't want to do what the successful churches of today are doing. But we want to do what this first church did. So from where we read, I want us to look at three things. The first thing is, how did this first church come about? And the second thing is, what are the characteristics of this first church? And the third thing is, what was the fruit of this first church? So the first point, how did the first church come about? So we find that answer in chapter 1, verse 15. That this group of 120 people were in the upper room waiting for the promise from Christ that you will receive power from the Holy Spirit when the Holy Spirit has come upon you.
And
in chapter 2, verse 4, we see now where the promised Holy Spirit did come upon them. That's Christ that promised.
Chapter 2, verse 4, bona moya o halalela ngutile jwalo ka no service.
And everything that came afterwards is because of the Holy Spirit that came upon them. So then we learn one thing, that this church is born out of the work of the Spirit of God. So we see that for a church to be formed, the church is formed by the Spirit of God. Now these people did not go and start a society and then make a decision to start a church. And they did not call a community meeting, and then in that meeting it was decided that the church has to be started. But we see that if the beginning was a miraculous thing, it was a beginning that was made possible by Holy Spirit. So through the preaching of the gospel that Peter did in chapter 2, we see then that the people repented from their sins and the Holy Spirit indwelled them. So then it is not possible for the church to be born in any other way except through the birth that is made possible by the Spirit of God. And this Spirit works through the preaching of the gospel, and the result is then that the church is born. So it's not only the beginning of this church that's made possible by the Spirit of God, but also the growth of this church. So the growth, the church grew because of the Holy Spirit as well. So in chapter 1, it was 120 people as a church. But where we just read, now it was 3,120
people.
And that growth was made possible by the Holy Spirit. They didn't have keyboards and guitars and drums, and then people came.
There was no mino, wadi guitar, kapa wadi katara, kapa zona di piano jualo.
But the gospel was preached, and the Holy Spirit worked in the people's hearts, and then the church grew.
Impa efangeli nente shumayelo, moyo halalelang lena usebeza kireke yahula.
So that's what we are hoping to do here at Sovereign Grace Bible Church. We desire to see the church grow in the same manner. We do not want to have any church growth plans on how the church should grow. But we want to see the Holy Spirit grow in the church in the same way that this first church grew. Now, we hear now in verse
47
that the church continued to grow. And how did the church grow? We are told that the Lord added day by day those who were being saved. So there were no shortcuts that the first church were using. So from the beginning of the church, we see God working. And when the church is growing, we see God being the one who grows the church. So we should not want to see the church grow in any other way except God doing it himself. Now, one important thing to note about this church is that it was made up of believers. The 120 people who were the first ones, they were people who knew Jesus and saw the resurrected Christ and were witnesses of him. And they are the ones that the Holy Spirit came upon them in the first instance. So they were saved people. They were not just random people in the street who came together and they formed the church. And the 3,000 people who were added to them, we see that they are repented and were baptized when Peter was preaching the gospel to them. So they also were not random people. They were born again people. So 3,120 people, they were all believers. And that's what made up a church. And then in verse 47, we hear that day by day, people were added to this group. But not just random people, but those who were being saved were added. So this was a church of believers. It was a church of those who repented from their sins, and the Holy Spirit was indwelling them as a result. So a church is made up of people who are saved, not Mr. and Mrs. Stones, because they are rich family in the community. So we don't converse people to be part of the church who are not saved. But rather, people become part of the church when they repent and have faith in Jesus Christ. But this doesn't mean that we don't invite people who are not saved into the church. So we invite them to come and see it and hear the gospel being preached. And when they hear the gospel being preached, they will then be saved, and then they will then be part of the church. So let's look at point number two. What are the characteristics of the first church? So what are the things that this first church were doing? So in verse 42, we hear that they devoted themselves.
So what does it mean to devote yourself? So it means that they were determined to continue in what they were doing.
It
means that they didn't intend to go back to whatever that they were doing before. So in that case, there were people from Judaism, there were Jews who were believing in the law of Moses. But they were devoting themselves not to go back to that way, because now they know a new way. So they were prepared to continue in this way even if persecution came along. So that is what is required from a church, for people not to give up what they are
doing.
So for us as a small church, not to give up the ways that we are doing, because we think that it's not bearing quick fruits. But to devote ourselves like this first church, and to hold on to our faith and not the desire to going back, and to hold on to the promises of God, and most importantly, not to move away from the model set by the first church. The second thing we see is that they devoted themselves to apostles' teachings. So that's what we see in verse 42 as well, that they devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings. But what was this apostle teachings? That's what we now have as the New Testament. And that's what they dedicated themselves to. They wanted to know more of Christ from those who knew Christ and seen him as the resurrected King. So these 120 believers that saw Christ were the ones who were testifying to these 3,000 and more people who did not know Christ. So this witness was the center of their faith. And they dedicated themselves to these apostles' teachings. And we also have these same apostles' teachings amongst ourselves. We have the Bible. So now we need to devote ourselves to it the same way that they did. So it's not possible to be like the first church when the Bible is not at the center of everything that we do. So that's why we emphasize reading the Bible over and over again. That's why we are preach about it as well. You know, it is possible that you may come here and not like the way we sing. I also didn't like it. But it's not possible not to love the word of God being read and being preached. Because the word of God is the center of a Christian life. So if you don't like the word of God, then there is something wrong with you. So there's something wrong with you, not with the church. So you can sit and endure the slow hymns we sing.
So
but when you open the Bible, we should then be excited.
Because
that's what the first church was excited about.
So the
third thing is that they devoted themselves to fellowship.
So
fellowship is a meeting together as believers, as we are meeting now today. We read that they were meeting in the different homes and also in the temple courts.
And
unlike us, they were meeting every day. So if you are lazy to come to church on a Sunday, then we should consider that they were meeting daily. But fellowship is more than just meeting. It's more about also about encouraging one another as Christians. It involves bearing each other's burdens as Christians. So that's what we see with this first church, that they carried each other's burdens. We see that they helped weak brothers, those who had need. They help them with their
needs.
So we read also that they shared their possessions with those brothers who needed them. So they treated each one as family, as brothers and sisters. And they endeavor to make new believers welcomed among them. So that's a lesson for us as a church as well. That we need to take care of one another. But before you can do that, we need to know one another. If you know one another, then you will know each other's needs. And then when you know each other's needs, then you can be able to help one another in their needs. Now in verse 45 it says, they sold their belongings and possessions. Now we like my brother Shimi to sell his car and give me the money. But that's not what the Bible is saying here. It doesn't mean that you should now go and sell your house or your furniture or your clothes. But what the Bible is trying to make here is that if there is a need, that we as a church should be able to help that brother or sister who is in need.
So Bibili likangu ribonsa sona kuhure. How na liwo shokang? Chanzi ro na rita me hore rimtuse.
So the first church was in a different position to the position that we find ourselves in today.
Kereke ya pili ineli semo selo ringa hasi chani lise ro na richola riloson.
When these believers were being saved, they were being kicked out of their homes. Some of them.
And arsheba bad medibana baba neban swaku koko haya habon.
That's the same thing that still happens even today in other areas of the world. We have our sister in Bethany called Shezna. She was here 2 weeks ago. When she believed, her family wanted to kill
her.
So she had to flee her home. So the believers had to come together and donate and buy a plane ticket to South Africa. And when she came here, other believers had to provide her with accommodation and provide for her needs. So that's what the first church was faced with. So if we had to pay a plane ticket for someone now, or we may have to sell maybe a PlayStation, for instance.
How na kapa ba le soko e jwalo hape le rona ka batla mso mo rekise PlayStation for re kono thusa mo.
So that's what this verse was basically telling us. So these first believers were not like these cults of today, where they tell their members to sell all they have and come and live in this compound. So they were not like a cult. They were not doing things that the cults do. But all they wanted to do was to help the weak brothers in their
need.
So when we sit here and when we come here and say if you have any prayer requests, we want you to tell us if you have any needs, so we as the church could be able to help you.
So
if there is a need, you need to mention it, and then we can be able to help you, like this church did.
So
the fourth characteristic is that there was the breaking of bread. So this breaking of bread is that they were sharing meals with one another in their homes.
So
they will invite people from their church, and then they will come to their homes and share a meal there. But it also referred to our communion, to celebrating the Lord's Supper. So they were having this communion together as a church. And they were doing this to remember the Lord Jesus Christ, what he did on his last supper when he gave bread to his disciples and wine to his disciples. So that's something that we as a church, we really have a lot to do to emulate this church. So the fifth thing they did is that they devoted themselves to prayers. So the first church was a praying church. These 120 believers, we are told that they were devoting themselves to prayer before these 3,000 were part of the church. So it was not just men who were going to pray, but there were also women amongst them. So that's what we see in chapter 1, verse 14, that even the women, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of Jesus, were part of the 120 who were praying.
Rabona mona Maria Magdalena le Maria mewa Jesu.
So prayer is a church-wide ministry of all believers. So all believers should desire to be in prayer meetings. And in verse 42, then we see that even after the 3,000 were there, they were still devoting themselves to prayer. And later on, we see that the apostles appointed a deacon so that they can continue in prayer and fasting. Charles Spurgeon said prayer is the engine room of the church. So without prayer, a church can achieve nothing. And in the Bible, we are reminded over and over again to pray without ceasing. So pray for choosing it doesn't mean that you kneel and pray and stay there forever. But it means that you should always be in a prayerful spirit in your heart. So that's why I mentioned earlier that we have a prayer meeting at 9:30 every
Sunday.
And we need to all be in that prayer meeting. The importance of prayer is that it shows our dependence on God. And most importantly, prayer, a praying believer will be kept from sin. Or sin will keep a praying, a non-praying believer. Sin will keep that non-praying believer from prayer. Now let's look at the third point. What was the fruit of the first church? So we know that the first church did all these things that I've listed, but what was the purpose? What was the fruit of them doing these things? The first thing we see is that they glorified God by doing these things. So all they did it because they wanted to glorify God. So us as a church trying to emulate this first church, we want to emulate it because that will bring glory to God. Because God is glorified when we honor His ways. So when we devote ourselves to the apostles' teaching, then God is being glorified in
that.
When we devote ourselves in prayer, then God is glorified in that prayer. Even in the Lord's Supper, when we have the Lord's Supper, then God is being glorified. And when we fellowship with one another, then God is being glorified. So we see that all those things that they did, they were doing them to the glory of God. And the sole purpose of a church is to glorify God. A church doesn't exist to fulfill our own ambitions, but just to glorify God. So we should not desire to do things that will not give God glory. So if we desire to have more people and then we have all these plans that are not found in the Bible, then we are not glorifying God by doing that. So the second point we see, the second fruit is that they had favor with the people. In verse 47 he says, praising God and having favor with all the people. So unbelievers looked at this first church and were convicted of their own sins. So we know that the unbelievers are not agreeing with this church in terms of theology, but that they couldn't dispute their holy character. So this holy character of this church made such an impact to the people who were not saved.
halalelo ya kereke na ile etsa tshiseo hara batho ba lorene ba sa kholosa.
That's why God was able to add to their numbers day by day.
Ke ka mo mdimu ala gona hore a eketse batho ba lorene ba ne ba kholosa.
So day by day people were being saved because of the things they see from this church.
Ka mehla le matsatsi batho ba nne ntse ba kholosa ka baka la tseo ba ne ba se bona.
Not just because of the miracles that the apostles were doing, but also because of the way they were treating one another and they were being one.
Ne ba sa kholosa pela ka baka la mesolo ene yetsa ke ba apostola empa ne ba rata ne ba kholosa le ka baka la kopanelo ha bona le rato la bona.
That's why as a church we need to continually pray that we may be holy and righteous in the sight of God and men.
Le rona tshwantse re rapele hore re halalele re loke pela sefatlhego sa Modimo le batho.
So people should not curse God because of the things that we are doing.
Gore batho ba seke ba rwa ka Modimo ka baka la seo re se etsang.
People should not think of us as hypocrites.
Batho ba seka nagana gore ra iketsisa.
They should not think that we say one thing and do another thing.
Ba seka nagana gore re etsa re bua se seng re etse se seng.
That's why it's important that even when there is sin inside the church, we need to deal with it swiftly.
Ke ka moo ga na le sebe mo kerekeng re tlamele re sebetsane ka sona ka potlako.
So that people can see that we live the way that we are preaching.
Gore batho ba bone gore re phela se re se buang.
And we don't want people to curse God because of our unholy characters.
Ga re batle batho ba roga ke Modimo ka baka la ka tsela e rona re itshwereng ka yona.
But we want our lives to be testimonies of Christ.
And
that's what the first church were. They were walking and living testimonies of Christ.
So they were
exactly like Christ in the way they acted and the things that they did.
And
this was a church that was doing miracles as
well.
And that's the first fruit we see, that many signs and wonders were being done by this first church. So the first church healed people and raised people from the dead. But we know that since this first church, we have not seen the same healings and the same resurrections that they were
doing.
But we see so many fake healings and so many fake resurrections. But there is one miracle greater than all miracles that this first church did. Yes, they healed people and they resurrected people from the dead. But there is a miracle that's greater than all those miracles. And that's the miracle of salvation. And we see this miracle being described in verse 47. It says, the Lord added to the number day by day those who were being saved.
Rabona hore batho ba ne ba ntse ba eketswa jwalo ka matla wa Modimo ka mehla le matsatsi.
So the Lord was saving more and more people.
Modimo o na pholosa batho.
And that is a greater miracle.
Oh, ke mosolo o moholo.
There is no greater miracle than to see a person being saved.
Ana mosolo o fetang go bona motho a pholosa.
To see a person who hated God now loving God.
Go bona motho ona se ile Modimo jwalo a sa rata Modimo.
To see people who used to live in their sins now hating the same sins that they used to live in.
Go bona batho ba lo re ba na phela se being se itseng.
And that's the miracle that we need to pray hard for.
Oh, ke mosolo lo reng tshwantse le re rapella haholo.
That the Lord may add to our numbers those who are being saved.
Gore Modimo a eketse batho ba lo reng ba ntse ba pholoa gara rona.
If we never get to heal anyone, it's fine.
Ha lo re sa fodise motho ha ona bothata.
If no one gets resurrected from the dead, it's fine.
Ona ha lo re ho sna motho tswang bafung ho tso lukile.
But we should desire this great miracle.
Empa tshwantse re lakatse sena.
This miracle of salvation for all people. And we need to pray for the people of Oliven to be saved. It is easy to heal 100 people in this place than for all the people in this place to be saved. But in this church, salvation was not a rare thing, it was something that was spending every day.
And
that's what we need to pray for God to do even amongst us as a church. But God can only do that if we, all of us, are doing what this first church was doing. If we devote ourselves in prayer, if we devote ourselves in the apostles' teachings, if we take time to know one another and care for one another, if we take time to share meals together and to participate in the Lord's Supper, and then we can be like this first church. In later chapters, we read that they were persecuted. So though they were added many to them, but they were later to be killed. But they did not give up their faith. They faced death with a straight face because they knew the Savior who had saved them. Even for us, if we were to be like these first church, we will also face persecution. But I can assure you that persecution will be worth it if we can be like this first church. So I hope that we pray in our homes and when we come here that the Lord might help us to be like this first church. That we may not like any other churches which have departed from this model of the first church.
Amen.
Let's close our eyes and pray. We thank you, Lord, for this first church, Lord. We thank you that we can be able to read about it. We thank you, Lord, that we can marvel at the work that you did through it, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that you have not changed. That, Lord, it is possible for even weak people like us to be like this church, Lord, to desire you like they desired you, Lord, to devote ourselves to the apostles' teachings, to prayer, to fellowship, and the Lord's Supper, Lord, like they did, Lord. May you work amongst us, Lord, as we try to emulate this church for the glory of your name, Lord. We give you thanks and honor today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy, to the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ, our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time, and now, and forevermore. Amen.